あと、部屋は明るくして、テレビから3メートルは離れて見上がってください。
This is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 31. I'm your host, Michael Huang, reporting in from Pasadena, California, where it's actually pretty sunny and pretty warm these days.
This is Raymond Hugh from Taipei, where... I'm running out of stuff to say because it has become a ghost town.
Wow, really? How did that happen?
Well, you know, it's Chinese New Year's, and just like Tokyo, like, everybody go back to the disgusting South. Oh, I'm not talking about the U.S. South, though. So don't throw your bowling balls, and don't take out your belts as whips.
Was that the dirty South of Taiwan, Ray?
Uh-huh. Where everybody loves to corrupt the president, want to suck his dick.
Not yet.
I think we may need to edit that. Anyhow, this is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, where everything is chill and cool.
And so we've got another exciting show for you today with some very, very funny and wacky news items for you.
Yes, after I knock out the censor guy. Dumbass.
And so we're and we also have a mailbag section. Thanks to one of our particularly loyal listeners who has interacted with us. Yes. Someone who actually has a theme song at this point. And finally, we're going to close up with a roundtable discussion as usual. And we're trying to make it these days real discussions where all of us actually talk for a change. But anyway, so how have you guys been? What kind of, you know, stuff have you been doing anime-wise in the past week or two since our last recording?
I've been brushing up on some stuff that I missed last season and catching up with some of the new stuff coming out. One of the shows that I've been watching and really enjoying is Natsume Yuujinchō, and the second season of that.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, I only saw one episode of that. How about you, Ray?
I haven't really watched much anime this week. I was on break. I've been on break, I guess. I've been trying to do some other stuff, like fixing my freaking computer and, you know, trying to decide if I want to get video games, downloading stuff, trying to get my microphone installed correctly.
Oh, yes, that's right. See, I'm not the only one with microphone problems anymore, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was trying to find the biggest shaft of microphone I could find. And when I plug it in, it refused to harden up to my command.
You know, and I saw a picture of that microphone, and it did look awfully thin for a microphone, I have to say.
What's his nickname? I'm asking for it.
Were you comparing it to your microphone, Mike?
Well, of course. That's implicit in everything I say. Mm-hmm. Especially with my sexy voice. I mean...
Yes, Mike, despite we make fun of his many lists, he's the only one with the deep, resonant voice.
That's right. That's right, baby.
Of course, have you seen those hard gay videos in Japan?
If I said that I did, would you hold it against me?
Somehow I just...
I don't want to hold anything, son. You want to let it go?
I just shudder at the thought of Mike and... leather and chains just doesn't...
Well,
anyhow,
you're never going to ever have to see that, at least not in public. But anyway, why don't we go ahead and move on to our first wacky news item of the week. Despite what you may have heard on this podcast, I am not actually particularly interested in naked men.
What? Which is why you found this article.
I am not going to take credit or tell you exactly how we stumbled upon this article that we're about to discuss. But I do suspect, however, that a good part of our...
YMCA. YMCA.
I do suspect that a good part of our listenership is interested in naked men, however. We won't say how or who, but I just have a feeling about that. And so you're going to enjoy this little
piece.
What
kind of feeling of that? What did you feel that?
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
Wow. I don't want to think about anything deep inside of you, Mike.
This is about Hanaka Matsuri, the Naked Man Festival in Japan.
Also known as Heaven for Gays.
Where else can you go to see thousands of loincloth-clad men soaking wet and frolicking around in the wintry night? This
just gives you chills, doesn't it, Mike?
Yes, sir. Not the good kind of chills.
It's too cold.
Yeah. The Naked Men Festival takes place in Saidaichi, Japan. And apparently men from all over the world, not just in Japan, flock to this small town to consume copious amounts of sake and run around in the middle of winter in their underwear.
So that's what they call it, sake.
And nothing screams a good time like running around in your underwear in the cold drinking sake. And throwing water on yourself.
Yep. They form small groups and run around the neighborhood chanting, wasoi, wasoi, wasoi.
Is that their mating call? Or is it just your greetings?
I think that just might be it. They're not actually technically naked. They are in their underwear. They're almost naked. They're as naked as yata.
Do we have a translation for washoe? Washoe? Does that mean like, hey dude, you're too close to me, like all naked and stuff?
Doesn't it more sound like, what's up, what's up, what's up?
What's up, my loincloth? Check it out. Dude, what's up? You got nothing that can match this.
If you really want to see what's underneath it, just lift it.
Wow.
I can see that your Schwartz is as big as mine. For all you Spaceballs fans out there.
But here comes the climax.
Yes.
It takes place exactly at midnight when two small wooden sticks are dropped in the local temple. And guess what? The man who catches one will have a year of good luck with men.
So the climax of the event, what is that again? How exactly does the event climax?
When two small wooden sticks are handled by many men.
And dropped trout in the local temple.
Yeah.
Does this temple have shrine maidens?
I suspect not for this kind of
thing. So apparently these sticks are so highly prized that the men clamber over each other to grab them. Resulting in a strange tangle of bodies.
Which you can see in a YouTube video which we will be linking onto the website.
You know, Japan just had the biggest orgy last year, but then every year they've been having orgies anyways.
Yeah, and this looks like some sort of traditional festival of some kind as well, in a way. I don't know how traditional this is, but
oh my god, dude. Oh my god, dude.
It actually started as a gay pride parade, actually. Like, ancient traditional gay pride parade.
The first one?
So the first gay pride parade actually started in Japan? How revolutionary!
Well, it's just like the first novel started in Japan, The Tale of Genji. That's the world's first novel. I guess it goes, you know, having the first gay pride parade would stand to reason in a way, too. Japanese invent so many wonderful things.
What, as a British lover, you have to admit that the novel actually started in Japan, not in Britain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's generally acknowledged. I mean, I learned that in English class. Yeah.
That's one for you, you fucking Brits! You heroin selling Brits! I still remember a couple hundred years ago what you did to Chinese! Drug dealers.
Any hate mail you have, please write to RaymondHugh@animediet.net. If he responds with, "You limey bastards," you may also send hate mail to. Well, none of us, because it's just Ray.
In either case, this is one of those very strange things that I don't know exactly. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in anime or manga before. I guess it's not one of those things that most male otaku want to think about, to tell you the truth. But
Can you imagine, like, in the middle of a festival, so I actually placed in the Navy or YMCA, and all of a sudden you had these five guys on stage, and then after a long silence and pause, everybody just go on to the dance with them, and all of a sudden the people left behind just understood something?
Well, they wouldn't even need the Village People. They could just play Yata. I mean, they've already got their homegrown version of that already.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is this is similar. It sounds a little different from... I saw a show on a similar sort of tradition that they have, which is almost exactly the same, but apparently there's a guy who gets designated, and it's this big honor for him to push through the crowd and make his way to the temple, and anybody that touches this person, wherever, however... transfers all of their bad luck for the year onto him and be blessed with good luck.
Huh?
He's so, like a scapegoat.
Can they shower them too?
It's pretty gnarly, though. The guy pretty much gets the crap beat out of him, like, before he makes it to the...
Wow.
And actually, if I remember correctly, too, there's guys waiting at the gates of the temple and hosing the guys down with frigid water to get them to back off the guy. So, yeah, there's priests standing out on the temple hosing everybody down. Whatever.
Water is what they said. Yeah. Could be some white sticky substance.
Well, that would certainly keep a lot of people away, that's for sure. A somewhat less nude fest tradition, apparently, that I only found out recently, is that apparently in New York City, every year, every winter, there is a no-pants subway day, where both men and women decide to take off their pants in the subway while riding it. And last year, 3,000 people participated in this.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's in the middle of winter, too.
Ray is currently booking his flight to New York at this moment.
Let's see. Let's see.
So, that's your daily dose of culture for today. And let's go ahead and move on to our final, and I think probably the most anime-related news item that we have here.
Yes, you know it's true. You know, ever since you saw Video Girl AI, Chobits, My Dear Marie, any number of Japanese anime based upon somebody creating their own personal robotic or digital girlfriend, you too wanted to build your own digital or robotic girlfriend, one that would only listen to you and listen to your personal whims and nobody else's. Be only dedicated to you. Apparently, a Canadian man, Lee Trong, a 33-year-old software engineer, imagine that, a 33-year-old software engineer, created, oh, wait, even better. A 33-year-old software engineer who lives with
his parents
in Brampton, Ontario, says he spent about $20,000 so far on Echo, a 5-foot-tall female android. I do have to mention that he is about 7 feet tall. You do the math. A female android with clear skin, a slim, if shapely, figure, and a wonderful disposition. She only says yes.
He's the pride of Vietnam.
Yes,
what can
is.
I say? Yes. Hey, he's 7 feet tall but can't get a girl. Well, that's weird.
I don't know if he's really 7 feet tall, but he looks tall and...
Yeah, he looks tall and skinny.
And it's Aiko.
Where exactly does she line up at? You do the math.
It's Aiko.
Anyhow, is it Aiko? It is Aiko,
yeah,
you're
Aiko.
Right.
It's Aiko.
Not to be confused with Project Aiko. Project Aiko is an entire different thing.
Yep.
Apparently, according to Lee Trong, she can recognize faces, she can identify medication. Imagine that, he's on medication. She can even butter your toast. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm not sure if that's code or what, but according to Mr. Lee Trong, that's what he tells the Toronto Globe.
She can butter my toast anytime.
Sure, Mike. You're not fooling anybody, dude. But, you know, apparently not only that, Aiko speaks in both English and, for some reason, Japanese.
Ooh.
Even though Mr. Latrong knows no Japanese. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
She can also read. Wow, she's literate. This is dangerous, Mr. Latrong. You really shouldn't have created her to be able to know how to read.
Yeah.
She might in fact find out exactly what a loser you are.
She's going to discover all that porno manga under your bed.
And she's going to be able to vote! Oh, that's last century's problem. Oh, well.
Well, I think some of the... this is basically the anime fan's dream come true. And he's actually made it happen. He's actually had the initiative and the funds to achieve the dream that all otaku really long for and dream of.
He's the man, man. He's the man.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, Ray, were you clapping just then? Yes. Gosh, I hope so.
Well, do you really want to hear the other noise? I can do that too.
Yeah. I think some of the things that Latrong, I'm not sure how it's pronounced exactly.
Ask your Vietnamese friend.
Yeah, I will sometime. And it's kind of in describing her. Aiko is what happens when science meets beauty. She doesn't need holidays, food, or rest, and will work almost 24 hours a day. She is the perfect woman.
Wow.
Yeah. See, I think this is coming from roughly the same territory as the people who want to get married to 2D characters in a way. Pretty much.
Yeah, but this one actually moves.
Yeah, at least this one moves and this one talks. And I think, you know, I am almost absolutely sure this guy has to be a major hardcore otaku. Why would he build one that speaks in Japanese when he doesn't get it? He probably only knows Japanese from watching anime. I'm pretty sure. So I'm sure she can say baka. And,
baka inu?
Baka inu, if he's a tsundere fan. And,
you know?
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly possible.
Considering the fact that AI technology is not that well developed,
mm-hmm.
and that he says that she is the perfect woman, that is kind of interesting, because basically the fact that she cannot logically reason why she should or should not be with this guy does make her the perfect woman for him.
It's a harem anime heroine come to life.
Hey, and tsundere comes to life too. If you watch the video,
that's right.
When you touch her breast, she smacks you.
Yeah, he knows his anime.
Bakaina!
He totally knows his anime girls.
The question that everybody's asking, like, I'm gonna let Ray handle this one. What is the question that everybody is asking in their mind right now?
Does she perform well in bed?
From you, Data, you are fully functional, aren't you?
Of course, but...
I mean, if he's an otaku and he's a healthy male otaku, I'm sure the thought has crossed his mind, but apparently this is his answer. Aiko is still a virgin, and no, capital letters, I do not sleep with her. However... But then again, he's also an otaku, so he has to add this. She has sensors in her body, including her private parts, and yes, even down there. Now,
The unbutton?
Yeah, I suspect, knowing probably who this kind of person is, yeah, I probably don't know how to know where the unbutton is.
I would like to know.
That's been in the case with more than one anime so far that featured robot girls.
It's either that or the on button is the left nipple and the off button is the right.
But she slaps you when she tried to touch her boob.
Okay. Right.
Oh, I see. It's actually
he likes it that way.
It's an act of self-preservation, though, because if he manages to succeed, she'll get turned off. So, in more ways than one.
For those geeks out there, please write Michael Huang.
Yes.
They'll discuss geekery all day long with you online in his pajamas.
So apparently there's some video of her in action that we will post on the site. So if you want to see exactly how Aiko performs, feel free to click on the video link.
But do you see the anime ramification? She's right there and he does not sleep with her. And yet, yeah, she's supposed to be fully functional, right?
Yeah.
That's like an anime in real life. What the hell?
I know. I think he's just trying to live that dream, you know? Because, you know, in most harem
anime, to be a virgin boy for the rest of his life with a girl next to him? Come on.
Well, almost nobody actually ever has sex in a harem anime. Didn't you ever notice that?
And they're all virgins. School days?
Well, that's not typical. And we all know how that guy ended up. I don't think he wants to end it that way.
Hey, but he gets to score around.
Well, it only lasts for a little while. And then before the stabbity stabbity stab comes in. Yeah. And I suppose because apparently he has a plan. He hopes to create and sell more pretty female robots in the future. And apparently he's already taken Aiko to an anime convention. There are actually pictures of this. And so she and he may be coming to an anime con near you.
Where can I buy one of these things? Sign me up for it.
In all seriousness, you know, we say that the guy, you know, I am on the record as saying, mentioning words like loser and, you know, whatnot. But I got to say, in my single earlier days, I think this guy would have been my hero in many ways. Oh, and I think many of you probably feel like that.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, we do got to show him some respect out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's taken one for the team.
Yes, he has. He's shown all of us what is possible in this world.
Hey, man, I'll respect him when he come up with different models. I'll buy one.
Well, that's what he plans to do. So if you need to be rooting for his success, Ray.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Amen. He needs to work with those Japanese guys, and they make something perfect. Yeah. And you know what? When women are no longer useful, we just get rid of them. Why have some stupid bitch that demands diamond rings and dates hot guys and treat you like crap? Shove her off the planet. Throw her into the sun. You know, put her in the black hole, shove her into the sun, blow her up with a nuclear weapon, gas her in the chamber. You've got a better woman anyway.
So all you women out there, if you'd like to write any hate mail, please send all hate mail to RaymondHugh@animediet.net.
All right, why don't we go ahead and move on to our mailbag section. And, yes, we are now having our mailbag section, and we have two pieces of email to answer, both of them from the same loyal listener and reader. Stephen H.
Your sound effect sucks, dude. Seriously.
I can't do it. I'm going to replace it with a good sound.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right, Stephen 007 writes, "Wow, a confession on the air. Ha 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 ha. Yes, it was a humiliating confession in which I confessed that I had not, in fact, watched the entire first season of Code Geass. But I'm more shocked that you don't watch stuff like Naruto and didn't even finish Death Note."
Sinner.
I need to jump in here. See, I'm your guy on the Naruto, okay? I'm the one that watches Naruto, if you haven't picked up on that, Stephen. Naruto, Bleach, and all that. I'm the mainstream loser of the bunch that's not the otaku, know everything about anime, watch every obscure show, and really enjoy all the romance comedies. And actually, I like those too, but all the slice of life shows like Mike and all the robot lolicon shows like Ray.
Why? It's Moe show. Damn it.
Oh, that's it. Sorry.
I don't see the distinction.
I'm your guy. But I do have to say, I didn't finish Death Note on the anime, but I did read the entire manga. So I'm going to let Mike move on.
Yes. I'm just a terrible fan, you see. The topic about the... Yes,
again?
Yeah. The topic about the toilets in space reminded me of the anime Planetes, where there's a country trying to develop a space pod or something to be sold to NASA. Yeah, it's about space junk. And I suppose that junk probably includes some biological waste as well.
Yeah, let's not go through the whole thing. Just get down, man.
Okay. Anyway, what a very interesting topic you guys have here about Crunchyroll. Like Ray, I don't want to pay anything for anime too.
Okay. Well, at least he's honest.
Yep. And we can also get almost any anime here for a buck or two, like in China. So wait, if it only costs that much. But then again, I got used in goose to downloading the fansub versions and used Mega Upload for it. So technically, I did pay some amount to Mega Upload, that is, i.e. not to the artists. And it is very reliable since I use it a lot to get a lot of softwares, games, and movies, etc.
Okay. So the DVDs you get for a buck or two, are those the official versions?
I kind of doubt that for...
Was that a trick question?
I am familiar with Crunchyroll. I used to watch anime there too, and that was like 2 or 3 years ago. Wow, that's a pretty long time ago, actually. By the way, I am from the Philippines. Hello, Philippines. And I just tried to go there now, and I was able to play some episodes, like Naruto episode 91, Dragon Sword of Uruk episode 2. But of course, I don't have the membership, and I didn't get any... But I didn't get any region blocking errors either. Well, it's true. A lot of the region locking only applies to certain shows, and there's a huge variety, and I guess it depends on their individual licensing agreement with each one. Ray, why don't you go ahead and talk about the reply that he gave?
Yes, unlike Mike, who has to be so academic and read everything, all I'm going to say is, yeah, man, I'm pissed about it too, and I love to hit him with the double fret of Guitar of Supreme Cruelty. That's all.
Yep, and we have graphic evidence to prove it on the page. So
yeah, that was me.
That was indeed him. That's pure photographic evidence. So, I mean, that's... Thank you, Stephen 007, for writing to us and commenting, and we look forward to hearing from you again. But, of course, for all of you other bad listeners out there who haven't left any comments before, we want your feedback as well, so we can humiliate you on the air, too. Send your comments by commenting under the link for this podcast episode, and we will actually answer you both in the comment itself and on the air.
So love us, hate us, or whatever you please write us.
Just don't do it at the Hadakakiri or whatever festival that was just talked about, man.
Yeah, try not
just
to
don't
do it
at the festival, please.
Right, or if you do, don't tell us about it. We don't need to know that. Anyways, we're going to conclude with our usual roundtable section coming up next.
We're back to the roundtable. We dance when we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to bookwork in Bedcable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
Finally, we always conclude with our roundtable section, and we've moved away from the idea of just simply talking about the current season, because if you want to talk about the current season, you can just go ahead and actually, well, read our blog. But the thing is that we actually have been reflecting a little bit. It's a brand new year. There's a lot of changes going on in the world and in our country here in the United States and in lots of different places. And we were just thinking, how has anime changed over the past couple of years? How has it been different, let's say, since we started Anime Diet at the end of 2006? And, I mean, we just wanted to reflect a little bit about the trends and the things that we've seen in the anime industry and in the shows themselves. So guys, what do you think? How have things, you know, changed since the end of 2006, the founding of Anime Diet?
Well, I would like to say that Anime Diet brought anime to a new level. I would really like to say that. but unfortunately, you know, in many respects, anime has... There's been some interesting stuff, but it's also started to blow goats for quarters, to a certain extent.
I like your turn of phrase there, Jeremy.
I just realized how sexually charged that was.
Did you enjoy it, Ray?
No.
Okay.
At least he still has some standards.
Yes. Yeah. You should have said, was it good for you too, Ray? But yeah, you know, anime. Well, these days, like, you find a lot more otaku catering, but junks rather than otaku catering goodness. Although I watch lots of those junk, and I've grown more cynical. If that were ever possible,
about anime,
yes,
or about life in general,
yes.
Oh. You know, we say that, but seriously, is it that anime has just gotten that particularly worse, or is it because with the start of Anime Diet, we've gotten more
critical,
involved in the process of actually, you know, being critical of anime and really thinking about it in a different sort of light?
I think that's definitely been the case for me. You know, just simply the discipline and the practice of writing reviews has definitely made me notice cliches, notice bad writing and things like that in anime a bit more acutely than before. It's now, it honestly is harder for me to just sit back and watch something without thinking about it too much. Because I always have this little bird in the back of my mind, you know, tweeting, you know, what am I going to write about? Like, what can I say about this?
And, wow, you actually think we watch anime? That's why my article are garbage, because I never think about anything.
You know, yeah, I don't really have that problem too much either in the sense, the same way that you do, because, you know, unlike you guys, I don't write jack shit. basically, I just get on and, you know, talk. Something I'm not maybe necessarily great at either, but, you know, I enjoy watching anime and watch a lot of it, and I do like bringing new anime shows to my anime club and trying to show people, you know, new different stuff. So I guess I do think about it when I am getting ready to play anime for other people. And sometimes I like to introduce anime to people that have never really seen much or, you know, don't know a lot about it. So I'm thinking about it in that context.
Mm. I mean, one show actually that just recently, I just actually watched last night, that I finally found the wherewithal to turn off most of my brain and just enjoy it, was Sorakake Girl. That was, I had to accept that it wasn't going to tell a traditional story, that it was just there for to be crazy, basically. And then I finally began to think it was a lot of fun. It was, yeah, I mean, it basically...
Come on, think this was going to jump, this is going to feature some, like, girl jump through the sky and turn back time and, like, changes everything and all this drama? No way, man. They had a colony drop.
Yeah, and they had a very phallic-looking colony who has to get his balls back. Yeah, I know. You all watched it, right?
You watched episode 3. You know what? For some reason, I didn't make that connection, but that's totally awesome.
It was perfectly obvious to anyone who was watching.
Jeremy, not only you don't write any articles, but you don't even read our blog.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, you know, if you guys didn't write such utter tripe,
Oh, the truth comes out, huh?
Right,
time. It's hard to find time for quality reading. You know.
But like Thomas Aquinas said, everything else is straw.
Yep. Yep.
What does that have to do?
I'm surprised you actually were able to remember that, right?
I just do, because I know I write straw all the time. Hmm. How about you?
All right. Just a 30-second explanation of context there. All right. Thomas Aquinas.
10 seconds. All
right. Thomas Aquinas is a famous theologian from the Middle Ages. He's one of my heroes. At the end of his life, he realized that, you know, he had been writing all of these books of very long, boring philosophical theology. He had a mystical vision of God, and he suddenly realized that all of his writing is straw. That was what he said. He compared it to hay, to straw. And he stopped writing from that point forward.
That's 34 seconds. You were past the time. Way past the time, man.
I can't explain it in 10 seconds.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. I'm verbose. I like words. Gotta give me my verbosity, man.
I know.
In any event.
In either case, yeah, I mean, it's, I would say actually probably the biggest thing that I've noticed that has really fundamentally changed about anime, we are definitely living, I think, in what we, can be fairly called the post-Haruhi age.
Hmm.
We are, I know.
Did you really just say that?
Yes, the post-Haruhi age. I just gave it a very, very pretentious title. Yes, I know. We are living... there has been an explosion of not only moe anime, but self-aware moe anime. Because that's what made Haruhi stand out, was that it was very self-aware. It was very fourth wall-breaking, postmodern, meta kind of humor. And there's been way more of those since 2006 that I've noticed. Like, you can think of examples like Kanagi and other things and other shows of that nature. I remember even a scene in Sorakake Girl where the main character literally looks at the camera and winks at you. Like, there was a very brief scene where she actually literally does that.
Man, I thought you would say EF the Tower of Memories where Nice Bowl got on screen. But no, you came up with Kanagi.
One thing that I see, and since, you know, 2006 and I would say before, is that And this has been a problem all along, but a lot of shows that have a good premise, some people might say a decent premise, start out, you know, really good, having a lot of potential, and maybe the overall story from a manga perspective, when actually broken down to those confines, even though the length is kind of long, can still be really good. But you have such over-commercialization now of anime and just such a global market that when they're working on a show that gets to a certain point or caught up with the manga, they actually start to run entire, you know, seasons and even conceivably years of just random crap filler. I think that's a big problem.
It's actually interesting, too. I think we've seen a marked decline in shows that are about 24 to 26 episodes. We either have those endless, you know, sagas that go on for hundreds of episodes with tons of filler, or we have 12 to 13 episode series.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I would agree with that. I think that it is pretty much that divide that you have shows that run, you know, upwards of 50 or more episodes, or you have ones that are really short and don't really, you know.
Right.
Either they're too long and maybe draw it out, all depending. I mean, some shows that are a lot longer, you know, do well with it, but some obviously just sap the whole idea dry, and then others just don't begin to scratch the surface.
Right.
Or maybe just weren't good enough to really keep going.
Yeah. No kidding. And my attention span has gotten a lot shorter. Used to be I can watch a 24 to it used to be 26, by the way. Mm-hmm. Could watch a 26 episode series, and now anything beyond 13 is a little long, except Toradora.
Yeah, except for Toradora, because Toradora is one of those rare gems. Yes. I know, Jeremy, you don't like it very much, but it gets a lot better. It gets really good.
I'll have to probably give it another try, and I think we're going to be showing that at our anime club, so I might be kind of forced to, but...
Yeah, I pretty much forced it, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Shows you're forced to watch this week.
Yep. Yes, indeed. But yeah, I mean, that's a really good example of, one thing where the industry itself and the kind of the nature of production and distribution has changed a lot, too. I mean, back in 2006, we could have never imagined something like Crunchyroll. Not only Crunchyroll, like making
Crunchyroll! Crunchyroll!
Not only did they, like, you know, become successful through piracy, they actually managed to go legit and make deals with practically every anime company on the planet to get their stuff shown on there. And that's, and I did not, we did not, certainly did not predict that the companies would, especially the American distributors and some of the Japanese distributors, would be so eager to latch onto it. Online streaming so quickly and at the speed that it's been adopted. Basically, within the last year or so, the entire industry has been upended by the whole streaming model, and it's gone by much more quickly than with the movie industry and with the TV industry in general. That took quite a while for them to catch on to that, and they're doing it now, but the turnaround has been pretty amazing. And so on the economic front, there's definitely been a lot of changes. But how about in terms of storytelling, or in terms of just, you know, quality of writing and presentation, and also maybe animation quality? Have there been any changes?
Animation quality? A lot more drops. Hmm. Yeah, first episode is great, and second episode is okay, and third episode is crap.
Hmm. So blowing the budget on the first episode, basically.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think overall that the animation quality has been getting better, like, in general for most shows as compared to, you know, pre-2006 or even further back?
I think, you know, since 2006, especially since Haruhi, Kyoto Animation has certainly raised the bar for what is possible for television animation.
True.
And so there is now a sense that TV anime does not necessarily have to look low budget. And that's why actually Kyoto Animation's most recent project, Munto, is actually kind of a little bit of a disappointment, because in terms of animation quality, it seems like a drop down compared to some of their previous work. Because they have raised, you know, the standard themselves with their, you know, really good lighting. And also, don't forget Makoto Shinkai. His stuff has also raised a bar for how good background art can look.
Yeah, thanks to CG.
Yeah, Yeah, CG has finally, I think, come of age.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, and I mean, there are exceptions to this, and it's just people not using it well. But you know, gone are the days of like Blue Submarine, where you have, you know, potentially a good show, maybe, where the CG just doesn't match up well with it,
yeah,
as it could. And I don't know. There's probably, you know, worse examples. I mean, that's just one that I do remember that, mm-hmm, you know, it wasn't
Initial
quite
D.
there yet.
Yeah.
Initial D.
I remember that. Those were ugly CGs and ugly characters, too. But, it seems to me also that Madhouse has been on a winning streak lately. It's just, yes, especially just in terms of pure animation quality. Almost,
yes,
all their recent projects have featured often the best graphics.
Yes.
Of whatever season they're in. Like,
it's actually a subliminal message.
Yes, it is. Yes. And I mean, just recently we had, you know, animation, like graphic masterpieces like Kurozuka, like Moryu no Hako. Mm-hmm. This season, Rideback. In the past, we also had
Claymore.
We had Claymore.
All right.
But yeah, they have definitely been on a huge winning streak. Oh yeah, they did The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, and they also did Paprika.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, well, for those particular directors. But those are... And so, yeah, they have been on a huge winning streak. And so, in many ways, they are kind of on the same... I would say at least on par with Kyoto Animation. Just in terms of... Except they've been around for much longer. And so...
Yes. Thank you, Madhouse. Mm-hmm.
And I want to say hi to the director and the character designer of Claymore. You have our business card, so you know where to find us. But,
yeah, if they can understand what you are saying right now.
Yeah. That's if they're listening.
Yes,
which
I know.
I like to imagine that the possibility exists, that it's not zero. It may be 0.000001, but it's not zero.
Yeah, it's just as much as possible as Microsoft is already monitoring every computer in the world. We just don't know it.
Yep.
That's possible, though.
Yes, that is possible, well, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of, I think in general, you know, animation quality is going to continue to go up as computer technology gets cheaper and better looking. So it's, you know, doing quality is still within reach, though it still doesn't prevent some shows from being very poorly animated. Do y'all watch Akikan?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an example of some bad animation, quite frankly. Really poorly drawn stuff. So it's not like everybody has the means to do it, especially since we just found out that lots of studios are getting paid very poorly for their work. But yeah. But okay, how about in terms of storytelling? Has there been any significant change?
You know, I think it's always been a mixed bag. As far as storytelling, I mean, you have the mainstream shows that are trying to hit, you know, a certain demographic, and, you know, they're falls in this genre, the harem animes, the action stuff, the, you know, the kid shows that's geared towards, you know, selling toys and cards and crap, basically.
Gundam.
You know, yeah.
Which
giant...
is geared towards selling stuff, but not toward kids, right, necessarily.
Right. Right. You know, giant robot anime. It's very rare that giant robot anime has, you know, breakout shows that just are so different from other ones. So, you know, that's definitely a very much overdone genre. You know, a few exceptions, of course, is like Evangelion, Boku Rano, stuff like that.
Right.
But like I said, I think it's always been a mixed bag, and, you know, some seasons are better than others in what they have, and, you know, some seasons are worse. And I think we're have been in a slight slump, but there's been some good stuff too.
Such as?
There's a couple different things that I'm watching, and what I consider good stuff, you know, might be different for somebody else. But you know, like I said, I was talking about Natsume Yojincho, Yojincho, and then I'm really like One Ounce right now, I think, is a pretty good show, which is, you know, kind of an odd thing because the fact that it's a baseball anime in a way, but very reminiscent of, you know, some other shows that...
Touch or Major? Because you said baseball shows, right?
No, actually, I mean, I think it's different from a baseball show, and it's centered around it's kind of psychological in a sense. It's centered around a character that basically uses not just his ability, but mostly psychology to be able to. And he's a gambler, so yeah.
You know, I think I'm gonna have to watch it. You've been pimping that show for the past three episodes, so
I really think it's a great show. I mean, everybody that I've showed it to has really liked it. So.
Okay, well, how about you, Ray? What do you think about what's changed?
I did say studios are less brave in general. Mm-hmm. Like, used to be, they'll come up with, like, more revolutionary shows, so we'll just give it a try. But ever since Gainax pretty much went down the tubes, except for, I don't know, that galaxy-tossing show with drills.
Gurren Lagann.
Yes. Yeah. Except for that, then I think studios has mostly become more cowardly. I mean, there are those sort of shows. But, you know, as I get older, as I get older, I'm more interested in shows that cater to me anyway, even though these things are crap. And at the end, my review has been, why the hell did I watch this show? Well, maybe somebody should say, why do you complain about it?
Well, I definitely have noticed that on the topic of catering, there's more shows now with otakus as actual characters in the shows. Like, I think it's a trend that really started, I think, picking up with Genshiken several years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, before 2006, but... You know, you've got a critical type of show like Welcome to the NHK, but then you have things like, you know, Nogizaka Haruka, you know, where it's a girl who's an otaku in that one. Same thing with Lucky Star.
So basically what you're saying is that recently anime has been a coming out party for otakus.
Yeah, I think that
basically it's explicit before now. They had to make shows about really cool kids and really cool stuff. In order to, like, hey, anime is kind of cool. You know, anime can be cool.
Right.
And now, like, hey, we're just a bunch of freaking geeks, dude. Check us out.
So, well, I think there has definitely been an owning up to the fact that that's, like, the audience, in a way. That they're not going to probably branch out very much to people of other persuasions. I mean, of course, harem leads have always been losers. I'm sorry, but they usually always have been anyway.
Right.
That goes way back. But now we have to add the fact that this guy is also into anime, like, to the show. And
yeah, I mean, all otaku culture, like, used to be, like, a story will be a story because of a story. Of course, it could be merchandise. Right. A story used to be merchandise first, and then giant robot story after that. Mm-hmm. After that, believe it or not, that's how these things were made. Anyway, things have to change like that. Now it's just because anything's based on otaku as concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, things are always going to continue to change because, you know, there's fads coming and going. And so we'll continue to monitor that, you know, as Anime Diet continues its third year and to many years beyond. Anyways, right. This concludes the 31st episode of Anime Diet Radio. I'm your host, Michael Hong.
And this is Remy Hugh, and it's still quiet like a ghost town.
And this is Jeremy. Good night, folks.
Good night.